of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio Now. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. This week, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a 20-week abortion ban. The controversial bill has once again thrust the issue of abortion rights into the limelight, with people on all sides debating the morality and legality of abortion.
But if you ask Kelly and Jeff Fitzsimmons, there's a key part of that conversation that many legislators fail to mention: the experiences women have when trying to access abortion services.
Kelly and Jeff are part of the team behind Across the Line, a virtual reality film, which allows viewers to experience what it's like to walk through an anti-choice picket line in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic.
The film is currently on display at the Milwaukee Film Festival's VR Gallery, where Kelly and Jeff joined me to talk about the film. If you're like me, you might not be so familiar with virtual reality films, so I asked Kelly, what are they like?
In virtual reality, one of the common things is that you always have 360 degrees of visibility. So you can look around. And in some types of virtual reality, you get to choose your own adventure. You get to go certain places. So instead of a flat film, which you're directed where to look, you get to be the director of what you want to see. So that's the major difference. And in this particular piece, it takes it another level in terms of you can actually walk through the environment. The thing that we did here, and it was a first of its kind in 2016, 2015, is that it is a hybrid VR documentary. So we have both the 360 video, which you'll experience the first two scenes are real people and they are actual people. They're not actors. So the doctor in the scene is a doctor, the patient in the scene is a patient. However, we did some workshopping beforehand to help them take on the experience and go back in time because it wasn't actually in the moment, as it were. We weren't capturing Veritas footage there. We did in the second scene when we approached the protesters in Aurora, Illinois, that is all Veritas footage. So people look like people, right? The third scene, we had to move into CG. And this third piece was done by Nani de la Peña, who's a very famous VR filmmaker out of LA. And her team used motion capture actors to be able to capture the movement and eyes of the people that you interact with. Now, the audio in this piece is audio that was captured from across the country. So it's actual audio that protesters have said to patients. So that gives it more reality and more weight. But I think that the first two scenes really set you up to have an experience of who is Christina, where is she, what is she going through, and now you get an opportunity to be Christina. There is what you were talking about, that gamey quality. That's just where we're at in terms of state-of-the-art CG, and it's called the Uncanny Valley, which is the closer you get to realism, but it's not quite there. There's so much part of our cortical makeup in our brain that's dedicated to facial recognition. It looks a little creepy. And so it's something that we work with in VR, and probably it'll be a solved problem within 2 to 3 years, maybe five. It's hard to tell. Things are moving super fast. But right now, this is state of the art.
Why did you think it was important to do this film as a VR experience?
You know, this is a really powerful issue, and people have kind of predisposed ideas of where they stand on this issue, and it's very different, especially for men, to see this kind of harassment or this kind of behavior on YouTube or on TV or something like that. It's one step removed, and to be able to put someone in the position that they're not normally in, the controversy around abortion, people often forget that these are safe and legal procedures that women are trying to access, and that going through this gauntlet of protesters in the middle of one of the hardest decisions that someone has to make in their life is not something that most people will ever experience. And so you can see it on TV, you can see it on YouTube, but it's very different from standing there in the middle of it, having them pointing at you, having them looking and yelling at you. And no matter where you walk in the experience, they're still looking and pointing at you. And that triggers just a very different response. I remember when we showed it at Sundance, one gentleman watched it and he took the headset off and he said, every man in the country should be required to watch this because I've never experienced anything like that. And I think that that's why we felt that VR was uniquely suited to tell the story.
As someone who, you know, hasn't dealt with a picket line like that, it was disconcerting to see the people who, specifically the man who came up to the window, who seemed to be posing as an official, but was really there to, was really a protester.
Right. That is part of the Veritas footage. So we mic'd the car, we had the camera there, he saw the camera, he was doing what he always does, and this is a very common tactic where somebody will pose as a guide and a clinic guide. Instead, they're there to take you to an alternative clinic and to get you away from the decision that you've made. Some people found him very sympathetic. Other people found that very manipulative. But the scene is the scene. It really depends on what you bring to it, just as any issue of reality. You enter that scene with your preconceived notions of what you're experiencing. So it's been fascinating to watch how people have handled that scene. We've seen, I've probably seen about 1,000 people come through it, some real anger, deep tears. There's been issues of, flashback on their own issues that they had at a particular time. But mostly what we've seen has been a real deep appreciation that the experience of the patients and the doctors too that cross those lines daily is being now experienced on a more wide scale, so that there's more empathy and more conversation happening around what is a very common experience, unfortunately.
What kind of response have you had from the third scene where So what happens in the scene is you now follow a little guide, and then you're really in a ring of protesters, and it's as though you are the person they're yelling at. And so the audio is real, but the little characters aren't. But assumably some woman did have these protesters yelling these very, very, offensive, close to home comments.
Right. And the motion capture actors that we used were similar scale. So you might have noticed some of them were really tall and big and burly, particularly the guy at the end, Wicked Jezebel. It's terrifying. I mean, he's looming over you. And that was really important. We wanted to give people a sense of, who are these protesters? What do they look and feel like? And the majority of them are male, and some of them are young and big and burly and terrifying. And so that is, really important to the film, is how you feel when you're near them. Because even though there's that uncanny valley of don't quite look human, but they are still human to scale, it can be very disconcerting. And we've had enormous range of reactions to people in that third scene and how they felt going through it. But like I said, it's, for almost anyone, it's incredibly powerful.
Now, how many places has this film been shown?
Great question. So it was released at Sundance in 2016. That's where we premiered. After that, we did the full festival circuit. So we were at South by Southwest and Tribeca. We also were abroad. We were in Paris and Romania. So we had been invited all over to show the piece, and really grateful to Planned Parenthood, which was our executive producers on the project. They also enabled us to open alongside a documentary called Trapped. And we were able to be at many of these openings with street teams and volunteers, so that while people were waiting in line to see Trapped, which was about abortion rights and the legal issues that have happened in certain states like Texas, to be able to experience what it's like on the ground for somebody trying to access these clinics, So that really made it a really powerful experience for the moviegoers, and it was a first of its kind to couple a VR project with an actual flat documentary and be able to give such a wide experience to the audience.
Being in the volumetric experience, that was really powerful too, because you get this sense of being in this space, and I'm not used to having guys yell at me and point at me and call me terrible things, you know what I mean? And and a lot of people at the different festivals, I've shown this to thousands of people at these different places, people will flip them off, people will swing punches, people will start yelling at them. I mean, it triggers this kind of primal reaction, I think, to have that happen. So that's a long way of answering your question, but yeah, I mean, even knowing ahead of time what our perspective was on the story and the issue, it was still a powerful experience to be in there, and disturbing.
You do kind of want to respond to them, because they don't look human, really, but they obviously are human voices.
Right.
And they're these kind of avatars, really, for the people who are actually shouting these things.
Right. And this, you know, Nani de la Peña, I'm sure Keller mentioned this to you, but we partnered with Nani de la Peña on that part of the experience. And that's sort of her expertise as a VR journalist. She takes found audio and then recreates these experiences that you can walk around inside of. They're called volumetric VR. And it's a trade-off. And this was made 2 years ago, which in VR time is like, you know, 20 years ago. So the technology wasn't as advanced. But the trade-off is that you can walk around in the environment and they can look at you and follow you and know, be aware of where you are and react to that, which is a very powerful experience. And knowing that those were actual recordings of protesters, people are willing to suspend a level of disbelief and still have that trigger response from that. And as a storytelling medium, it's getting better and better all the time. Those avatars are looking more realistic. We're figuring out different ways of shooting in that volumetric space that looks more photorealistic. But even at the time, I think it still elicits a powerful response.
Now, I'm assuming that a fair amount of women who have had abortions have seen this film. What have they said about it? Because one thing I think that often gets lost in the conversation is generally the people who have abortions at Planned Parenthood are low-income women. There are more expensive clinics you can go to with fewer protesters if you have more means. Have you heard from people who have gone to Planned Parenthood? Have you heard from people who weren't at these kinds of clinics?
I can't speak to that in detail, just because, you know, Planned Parenthood is the leading provider across all age incomes. You know, there are not a lot of, because of the way the laws are structured, there aren't really private clinics that if I have a lot of money, I can just go to and get a better experience. So the people that we spoke with that had gone through this, it was a wide range of reactions, and we knew going into it that it could potentially trigger people, so we usually had a kind of a debriefing area that people could sit and sort of talk to someone. We had people there that could work with people as they were coming out of this. A lot of people were upset for a whole variety of different reasons, whether it brought back memories of them having a very similar experience when they went into a clinic. We had a woman at, I think it was Tribeca, who broke down in tears and was very upset. And it took us quite a while to kind of figure it out. And she eventually told us that she, when she was younger, worked at one of the clinics that man was trying to talk her into going to, which is kind of a fake clinic where you go in and they tell you they're going to give you health care, and they basically try and pressure you out of getting an abortion. she said she worked in one of those clinics, and she said, I had no idea that's what they were doing out there to get people to come in here. And she was devastated. And it turns out she was a journalist and wrote a big piece about it, and about her experience and that experience in her childhood. So we've seen, you know, a huge range of emotional responses to it.
Thanks so much for speaking with me about the film. And this was a very interesting experience.
Yeah, I'm glad you got a chance to do it. And I'm glad that this ours, an honor that ours was the first VR experience you've ever had. So, yeah.
Kelly and Jeff Fitzsimmons are co-founders of Custom Reality Services. They're part of the team behind Across the Line, a virtual reality film on display at Milwaukee Film Fest. You can experience Across the Line at the festival's VR gallery, which will be open through October 12th.